Well, a lot of you, if not most of you, have been to camp before, and so you've heard me preach before, and you know kind of how I do things, and we're going to do things the same way this year. So starting tomorrow night, before I preach, I will ask you a number of questions about tonight's message, and that's my little way of getting you to try to pay closer attention. And as always, we'll have a contest between the boys and the girls, and see by the end of the week who has been able to answer more of the questions. All right, so again, make sure that you pay attention. And it might be a good idea when you go back to your cabins at night to talk about the message. Because then when you come and prepare for tomorrow's questions, you'll be ready and you'll have a better chance of answering them. So again, tomorrow night we'll start with the questions. Let me also say, anybody have a cell phone? You might want to make sure you turn that off or put it on vibrate before we start. That way you don't end up like my wife this morning, all right? I wrote me some announcements here. Tonight, the subject matter is going to be salvation. And not that I won't reference the subject of salvation the remainder of the week, but after tonight, I'm going to spend the majority of my time preaching on what we're supposed to do after we're saved. Because nearly every year, come Monday evening for the chapel, I ask how many individuals who are here are saved. And let me go ahead and ask that again tonight. How many of you would say that you're saved and you're sure of heaven? Would you raise your hand? All right, you can put your hands down. So see, that's the majority of us. How many of you would say, you know, preacher, I don't know what in the world you mean by being saved. I don't know what that is, or I know what it is, and I have never been saved. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Sometimes people are a little bit scared to raise their hand, especially when everybody else raised their hand and said that they were saved. But you know, sometimes even when people say, I'm saved, sometimes they're just raising their hands because everybody else did. Sometimes maybe it's because they did say a prayer when they were younger, but yet maybe they were just repeating the words of someone else and they weren't really saved. When I came to Shepherdsville Baptist Church and started pastoring there, there was a family, a large family, and a lot of them were there and active in that church. And one lady, she was, I'm not exactly sure how old she was, maybe 27, 28 years old. She had been raised in a Christian home, gone to this particular church all of her life, or most of her life. She had went to a Christian school, and she had indicated that she was saved to me when I came there. But a year or so later, after we arrived, she made a genuine profession of faith and got saved genuinely for the first time. And so I'm going to preach this message tonight, and it's going to be on the subject of salvation. And I want to encourage you to pay attention, even if you are saved, because the Bible tells us to examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. If you are saved, most of the time, it will be demonstrated by how you live your life. If someone says, I'm saved, and they don't go to church, and they never read their Bible, and they have no desire for the things of God, I got to wonder whether or not that person is really saved. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, if he's saved, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So I think if you're saved, those around you will be able to see it in the way that you live your life. Well, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew in chapter number 8. I want to read starting with verse number 5 through verse number 12. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, when I used to live in this area, I used to spend a great deal of time driving. Sometimes it's because I drove and delivered newspapers all night long. Sometimes it's because I drove from Grafton to St. Louis to commute to work. But I spent a lot of time in my vehicle. And as I listened to the radio, from time to time there were commercials that would come on the radio. I don't know, maybe they have very similar commercials on the radio today. But when these commercials would come on the radio, they were always, there was always this individual that was talking with a very loud, echoing voice. I mean, sometimes he was advertising for an upcoming tractor and truck pull. Anybody ever heard those commercials on the radio? You don't want to miss it, they would say. Or they'd say, be there. You ever heard those things going? Yeah. It's the most fantastic, the greatest show on earth. And you don't want to miss it. You want to make sure that you're there. And they talk so loud that, you know what? If I didn't go to the event that they were advertising for, I might start to feel sad. I'm like, man, I missed something special. I missed something fun. I mean, they said, be there. And I wasn't there. Maybe I should buy tickets. And you know, there are some things in life that I personally don't want to miss out on. There's some things my family members, my daughters and my sons and my wife look forward to every year. I mean, this camp is one of the highlights of our year. We look forward to it every year. Matter of fact, every January, normally Pastor Hendricks will contact me because that's when Pierre Marquette draws the names out of the hats and sees who gets what week, you know, up at Pierre Marquette State Park. And so he'll contact me in January and he'll say, here's the weeks of camp. Are you able to be with us this year? And I tell Elisa, my oldest daughter, every year, I say, well, I got an email from Pastor, and he wants to know if I'll come preach at camp. I say, well, I just don't think I'm going to do it this year. And she always does the same thing. She always looks at me half cross-eyed and says, yeah, right. And we always end up here. I don't think my kids would rather be anywhere else than camp. We love the food. We brag on the food. We've already done that this week, bragged on the food. You know, we like the games that Mr. White puts on and Matt Fessler. We like the swimming. We like the outdoors. I like preaching in an auditorium like this. And of course, you all like the preaching too, right? Amen. I mean, there's no other place we'd be rather be this week than right here. This is an experience that we do not want to miss out on. We want to be here. This is exciting to us. And I hope it's exciting to you. You know, last week, we took a trip to Eminence, Missouri, and we did something else that I like to do a whole lot. I had forgotten how much I like to do it, because it had been about, 15 years since I've did it. But that's not going to happen again. It's not going to be another 15 years before I go on another canoe trip. We packed up our belongings, we took Jamie and Jordan with us in our van, and we drove down to a town called Eminence, Missouri. Little bitty town, 680 people. I mean, little bitty town. All the kids, by the time we got there, they were all just about ready to throw up because the roads turned and went up and down. I thought it was great. I was raising my hands. You know, I was having a blast, and my wife was like, slow down. But, you know, we had been on the road for 6 hours. I was ready to get there. I told the kids, matter of fact, I said while we were eating at church, because we had lunch there, I said, you guys need to make sure you eat good because we might not eat again until we get there. And we didn't get there till maybe 8 hours later. And boy, were we hungry. And let me tell you a little story just for entertainment value. We got there. We're starving to death. We're like, where is the local McDonald's? I mean, where's the local Hardee's? Where's the local KFC? Where's the local anything in this town? And so I stop at the canoe rental just to make sure you guys don't pick this up tomorrow in the morning, right? I said, where can I get some food? I want to eat some pizza. Where's the Pizza Hut? Well, you could go down to the gas station. And I'm thinking, gas station? Is there anything else in this town? Well, there's a couple restaurants over there on Main Street. So we get checked in to the place where we're staying. I asked the lady there, is there a place to eat in this town? Well, you could go to the gas station, she said. And I'm like, gas station? That sounds a lot to me like, you know, 3-day-old hot dogs, hard bread, watery ketchup. I don't want to eat at the local gas station. I want some food. We haven't ate in 8 or 9 hours. And so we go to the restaurant. Oh, it's open. Nobody's inside. We're going to have the place all to ourselves. I tell my wife, you better go check on this. Make sure, you know, it's all right for us to come in, that they're not closing up shop. And I can tell as I watch them through the glass window, something's going on other than what I had hoped for. Because I see the lady point down the street. And my wife comes out and she says, well, they're open. But she said they're all out of food. I'm like, how can a restaurant be out of food? But she did say we could go down to the gas station. They never run out of food. But they had food. And they had pizza, and I don't know if it was the best pizza known to man or if it's just that we hadn't ate in 9 hours. But it was good food. But I'm telling you, besides that, the trip was great. You know, we sang that song, Cool, Clear Water. We went to Eminence, Missouri on purpose because we could have went 20 miles north and floated at Turkey Run State Park, which is near us there in Indiana. But I didn't want to do that. I knew what the rivers were like down in Eminence, Missouri. They're crystal clear. They're cold, maybe 60, 65 degrees year-round because they come from a spring, not from rainwater, not from the factory, not from the water treatment plant. But they're cool, clear rivers. And we floated, and I tell you what, I don't think if we were going on a float trip that my kids would want to be anywhere else but on that float trip. Titus was fascinated by the turtles. There was turtles everywhere, and the lobsters. He thought the baby lobsters were neat. You guys didn't know there were baby lobsters in the Jack's Fork River, did you? Neither did I, but that's what he calls crawdads. Bethany was the only one that was a little bit hesitant about how much fun it was because I was asking her a couple days afterwards, wasn't that great? Don't we need to do that again? And she said it was dangerous. That's because the canoe flipped over on top of her. And it took her mom a little while to get her out from underneath the canoe. But I said, you didn't get hurt? She said, it's dangerous. But we had fun. That's something that none of my children probably want to miss out on the next time we go. Probably when we go, Jamie and Jordan are going to be like, can we go too? Because it's fun. It's something you don't want to miss out on. It's something you want to be there for. And you know what? There's some men in the Bible that had the sad experience of not being able to participate in some exciting things that other people were able to participate in. The first individual that comes to mind is Moses. I'm not going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3, but if we were to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3, we read about Moses and how he's talking to Joshua. And the people of Israel are about to be allowed to go into the land of Canaan. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the land of Canaan, but that's the land that God had promised to the people of Israel. He said to Abraham, I'm going to give you and your descendants this land. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And I'm going to give it to you. And from that time forward, Abraham and his descendants, the people of Israel, looked forward to God giving them that land. Isaac looked forward to possessing that land. Jacob looked forward to possessing that land. His 12 sons looked forward to possessing that land. But they had to wait hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Because Jacob and his 12 sons went down into Egypt. And they lived there for hundreds of years. And then God finally delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he used Moses to lead them out of Egypt. And they were about to go in and to possess that land for the first time. But yet when the 12 spies came back who had went out to look at the land and to see how they might enter in and conquer the enemies there, they gave an evil report, the Bible says. And they were scared because the cities were walled unto heaven and because the people were giants, some of them. And they said, we're not going there. And God didn't allow them to go in because they wouldn't trust Him. And so for 40 years, Moses had to lead the people of Israel around in the wilderness. But at the end of those 40 years, God was then going to allow the people of Israel to go in and possess the land of Canaan. And God took Moses on the top of Mount Pisgah. And from the top of Mount Pisgah, Moses could look out upon the land of Canaan and see what the people of Israel was about to possess. And he asked God, he said, God, can I go in with the people? And you know what God told him? He says, you can't go in, Moses. Because you disobeyed me one time back in the wilderness, and I told you that because you did that, I wasn't going to allow you to go into the land of Canaan. Think with me for a moment what might have been running through the mind of Moses. For 40 years, at least 40 years, during his wilderness march, he was anticipating God leading him and the people of Israel into the land of Canaan. And now there it was right before his eyes, and he could not go in. He couldn't dip his toes in the streams. He couldn't kiss that moist soil. He couldn't chop down an oak tree in Lebanon. He couldn't crush those grapes of Eshcol. He couldn't eat of the vineyards there, nor conquer the foes. God said, you can't go in. He wanted to be there, but he missed out. God said, you can't go in, Moses. You can't go in because you disobeyed me. A couple of years ago, I preached on the life of David. And probably in some of those messages, I mentioned a couple of experiences of David. One experience was how he was left to keep the sheep while his father and his older brothers went to a feast with Samuel. And I can just imagine David there back in the pasture, you know, watching the sheep while everybody else was off having a good time. Probably from afar off, he could hear the sound of their voices. He could hear the sound of laughter. Perhaps he could smell the burning of the sacrifices. Maybe he could even see the glimmer of the fires that were burning. And just imagine, and all the fun they were having. But not him. At least not initially. He was left back to watch the sheep. This isn't the only time David was left back initially either. Remember the story of David and Goliath? But you know, before David fought Goliath, you know where he was? He's back watching the sheep. And where were all of his brothers? They were off fighting in battle. But not David. He was back watching the sheep. Left out of all the glamour of going to battle and fighting the enemies. There's another incident that happens in the New Testament I want to use as an illustration. That's of Thomas. Sometimes you hear Thomas called Doubting Thomas. Well, you know why? There in John chapter 20, the Bible says that the disciples were gathered together, and this was after Jesus Christ had been crucified. And here they were gathered together, and you know who walks in? Jesus Christ. Their Messiah. The one who had been crucified, and now here they are face to face witnessing the Lord Jesus Christ before their eyes. But you know who was missing? You know who wasn't there? Thomas. He missed out. How do you young people feel when you have to miss out on fun that everybody else is having? How does that make you feel?
Sad.
Yeah, it makes you feel sad. Nobody likes to miss out on a good time. Nobody likes to miss out on fun, do you? Some of you, how sad would you be if your brothers and your sisters were here at camp and yet you had to stay home all by yourself? That wouldn't be very nice, would it? No, because you want to be able to partake in the fun that's going on here at camp. You don't want to miss out. You want to be there. Just like Moses wanted to enter into the land of Canaan, but he couldn't. Just like David wanted to go to the feast, no doubt, but couldn't. Just like probably Thomas wished he would have been there. But he wasn't. But you know, if you miss out on something like camp, if you miss out on something like a canoe trip, you'd probably get over it fairly quickly. But you know, there is an event that you would never get over if you missed it. In John 14, in chapter 14, in verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus was talking to his disciples. He says, "I'm going to prepare a place." And you know what? He's already done that. He's prepared a place for every one of us in heaven. And he's coming back one day. And he's going to take those that are saved with him to heaven. But there are going to be some that miss out on going to heaven. There are going to be some who miss out on the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not going to go to heaven. Instead, they're going to go to hell. Let me direct your attention to our text that I read a moment ago, Matthew chapter 8. It says that Jesus entered into Capernaum, a city. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. This was a Roman soldier. Matter of fact, in saying that, this man was, it's kind of ironic that you find a centurion mentioned here, especially in a positive light. Because a centurion, this meant that he wasn't a Jewish person, and Jesus primarily ministered during his earthly ministry to Jewish people, but this man wasn't Jewish. He wasn't a priest, he wasn't a rabbi. He was just a Roman soldier. But he came to the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "My servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." I have a servant and he's sick. And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." And most of us would have said, "Okay, I'll lead the way." But that's not what this man says. This man instead, he says, "I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He said, "There's no reason, Jesus, for you to follow me." Guys, don't miss this, all right? There is no reason, he says, for you to follow me
Jesus, you just say the word. You just say the word. And I know my servant will be healed.
You don't need to trouble yourself any further. And I want you to notice Jesus' response. Verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. You notice how Jesus describes this man's faith? He doesn't describe it as normal faith, not average faith. He says that the man's faith is great. Great faith. You know, that ought to cause us to stop and ponder, why is Jesus Christ calling this man's faith great? Because I don't want to have average faith. I want to have great faith. I want to be like this man here so that I can have Jesus Christ commend me as well. What made this man's faith so great? Well, notice what it says. He said, speak the word only. He said, Jesus, all you have to do is say the word. And if you say the word, that's enough. I don't need any other confirmation. I don't need to see a sign. I don't need to see a poof of smoke. I don't need to see a halo or a lightning strike. Just say the word, and I'll believe it. Would to God we had Christians like that in America today, in our churches today, where all the preacher had to say was, Thus saith the Lord! And people believed it and obeyed it. But too often when preachers get in the pulpits and they preach the Word of God and they say, Thus saith the Lord, people want to say, Prove it to me. What about this, preacher? Or what about, well, I'm not, well, whip, throw them all those butts in the trash can. If you want to have great faith, you just say, Amen. Amen. This man had great faith. Jesus only needed to say the word. And when he said the word, the centurion believed it. How about you? Does Jesus only need to say the word? Is that all he has to do for you to believe? He said, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. Do you boys believe it? Or do you say, Prove it, preacher? The Bible says, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you believe it? Or do you have to have somebody prove it to you? If you have to have somebody prove it to you, you don't have great faith. You don't have faith. Boys, the Bible teaches this, that we are all sinners. All of us. We're sinners. That means we've broken God's commandments. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've broken God's laws. Girls, you've broken God's laws. God says, Honor thy father and thy mother. And there have been times where you haven't done that. The Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And there are times when you have not done that. The Bible says, Love your neighbor as yourself, boys. But there are times, I'll guarantee it, you have not done that. And as a result, you deserve to die and to be separated from God throughout all of eternity. That's what you deserve. For the wages of sin is death. But the good news is, Jesus came and died for your sins. He was hung on the cross. He bled and died for your sins. He took your place. Because you were the one that deserved that. And when they put him in that tomb, 3 days later he came up out of it. He was resurrected. And if you will believe that Jesus died for you in your place, was buried, and rose again the third day, and trust completely in that to get you to heaven, you can be saved. You know, I hope we spend this first evening of camp thinking about the subject of salvation. There's nothing more important in life than you ensuring that you're saved. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You need to make sure, girls, that you're saved. And I pray that if you're not sure of your salvation, that you'll talk to one of your counselors or adults tonight so that you can get this matter settled and make sure that you know you're on your way to heaven. Boys, you do the same thing. You make sure you're saved. We're going to spend the rest of the week in our evening chapels talking about how we are to live our lives after we're saved. But those messages won't be very applicable for you if you're not born again. So you make sure you're saved. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for the example that we have here of the centurion and his great faith. Lord, I pray that we might be the kind of people that would also only need you to say the word, and then we'd believe it. Lord, I pray that the young people would think tonight about what they will miss out on if they do not get saved. Lord, our text says that the children will be cast out, and they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And yet those from the east and the west will be allowed to come and to the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we know that this is a reference to the Gentiles and how the Jews rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But the Gentiles readily received him, and as a result, they have a home in heaven. And Lord, I pray that each of these young people would ensure that they have a home in heaven too. So Lord, may they check up on their salvation tonight, ensure that they're saved and born again. Lord, if they're not, I pray that we might see some come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before this day ends. And Lord, continue to bless as the word is preached throughout this week. Help these young people to listen to what is said and to be better because of it. So God, take this message tonight. Use it for thy glory. Use it for the benefit of thy people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation when we're done with this. I will dismiss you, but Lisa, do you have a song? Just as I am. If you know this song, sing it with me, all right? Just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. You know, that song speaks as to how you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ just as you are. Sometimes people don't feel like they're good enough to come and get saved. Well, none of us are. You have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will cleanse you from all of your sin. Again, if you're here and you're not saved, when we dismiss here in a moment, why don't you come and talk to me? And I can show you from the Bible how you can be sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. All right? Mr. White, I'll go ahead and dismiss everybody. And then, can someone ring the bell whenever things are ready for canteen. All right. So, young people, if you would stand with me. Again, thank you for your kind attention. And make sure you take some time tonight talking to one another about the message, asking each other questions about the message so you'll be prepared for the questions I ask tomorrow evening. All right, you're dismissed. Thank you.